You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and Engineer Jim on our second take of our Upon Further Review post-game show brought to you by the good people at Coors Light. And we are here with our friend Jesse Merrick from News 3LV to talk about a Raiders win. Jesse, we finally got you on a W. It took us a few times, but you are here to talk a Raiders positive result, my friend.
Man, third time's the charm, right? I was looking like the Schlepprock 0-2, but now I'm trending in the right direction after this win today.
Oh, seriously. So the Raiders win 16-6. Not the prettiest game that any of us have ever seen, certainly, but a win nonetheless, an important win over an AFC foe. And dude, I mean, really, where to even begin? I mean, there's no shortage of things to talk about. So let's just talk about everything that we were talking about headed into this week, which was the defense and all of these mythical, you know, changes that we were going to see. And I think at least for me, and obviously you're more of an X's and O's guy than I am, but the biggest change for me that I saw wasn't so much the personnel. It was that Paul Gunther just unleashed Jonathan Abram today.
Yeah, I mean, having Abram back was massive, obviously. He did unleash him. He let him get in the backfield a couple times on blitzes and things like that. And, you know, we obviously know the speed that Abram has and what he brings to the table into that area. So that kid's just a savage. Having him really changes things for the Raiders on defense. But overall, you know, again, there wasn't really wholesale changes or anything like that, like we all maybe thought there would be, or maybe Gruden kind of teased it, trying to maybe stir the pot a little bit. But, man, I mean, it obviously worked. The situation and the weather had plenty to do with it. But, man, the defense looked so much better. And what a wonder getting a turnover can do for you, right?
Seriously. And here's my question to you is, I don't want to be negative, Eddie. Like, I'm obviously super fired up. We're 4-3. We're feeling good. You know, another road game, another tough test next week. But all of us coming into this game wanted the defense to perform better. We knew the defense had to perform better if this team wants to make any type of noise in 2020. And they did that. Give them a ton of credit. They played a lot better. Baker Mayfield limited to 122 yards. The Chiefs really, I mean, they gave up 100 yards on the ground, but they get doubled up by the Raiders in that regard. But you mentioned it, the weather. The weather was nasty. It was gross. So how much of this do we credit the weather gods, the autumn wind, if you will, and how much do we credit Paul Gunther and the guys actually out there doing their thing?
I mean, look, let's be honest. Like, Cleveland lives there. They deal with this all the time. So, like, to say that they don't have an advantage would be insane. So they have an advantage in dealing with that. Like, the Raiders were from California and now Vegas, like two places that have unbelievable weather, and they're also now in a dome too, so they don't have to deal with that stuff on a regular basis. So you got to hand it to the players in some sense. Again, I know that the wind and the snow, sleet, whatever the heck they're calling it on the broadcast, all the different names they had for it, you know. So, yeah, that played a factor in it, but you got to hand it to the players. You got to hand it to Gunther. They put him in better situations, you know. And again, the offense was such a great defense for the defense because they kept Baker on the sidelines. At one point on the broadcast, they took a shot of him just sitting there with the hood, just chilling in the cold. He just looked like a wet cat, just like, I just didn't want to be there. And I started cracking up at home when I saw that. And so that was one thing that was massive, as well as they got a full performance and the breaks also went their way, aside from a couple of things, which I'm sure we'll get into.
You know, we're going to talk about the offense, the time of possession, all that in just a second. But, you know, you bring up kind of the mistakes that Cleveland had. And it seemed like, at least for them, I mean, really for both teams, it just really felt like a game of like almost, right? It felt like a game of like these almost touchdowns, these almost big plays. But like you said, man, hey, I will take it. You know, you go on the road, you're playing in a nasty environment. You know, that's okay, but I can't remember a game, and I'm sure someone will get mad at me for this, but I can't remember a game where the opposing wide receivers dropped so many passes.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was one thing in my notes that I had in there. There were a couple really big drops. I mean, the one that sticks out the most is the Landry touchdown that should have been. I mean, that's a guy, you see the catches that he makes, that's not something that he drops or something that he lets go to the officials to decide whether or not it's a catch, and, you know, the football gods, you know, reign supreme over whatever the heck is a catch or isn't. But man, I mean, they definitely got the swings that went the right way for them. But again, it wasn't just that, obviously, and I know you're not, you know, insinuating that either. But man, you know, the way that the defense played as a whole, you know, you didn't really see much from the defensive line, but I think the guys in the secondary, and especially LaMarcus Joyner too. I mean, that catch, obviously, that Landry had late in the game on him, that one-handed grab, like, there's nothing he can do there. He was actually in great position. But then those two breakups that he had towards the end there, those were massive and really saved the game, because then the defense just managed to stop him there. Well, actually, I guess the wind stopped Cody Parkey from making the field goal. But man, I mean, what a stand and what a season, what a game by the defense. I believe Cleveland was 1 for 3 in the red zone, if I remember right.
Yeah,
I
and
mean,
I
that's
saw some crazy stat. I didn't mean to cut you up, but I saw some crazy stat too, where the Browns only had, I think it was 6 offensive possessions, 6 drives, and I think that was the fewest they've had in 3 decades or something obscene like that.
Yeah, it's insane. And that was one of the things I asked Hunter just about, you know, the key to the game for them offensively. And he said at one point, Jason Witten came over to them and really stressed the importance of, you know, being perfect, getting everything right, because this could be a 7-possession game. And that's what it ended up being. And so that is wild, the simple fact that they held them to 6 drives. That is crazy.
And I'm curious, too, and I'm sure that we'll have to wait to hear Paul Gunther talk about this on Thursday, because there's no doubt that he's going to be asked about it. But this defense obviously is a different beast when John Abram's playing. That's quite obvious. You know, we miss him last week in a big way. But this was the first time that we've seen the active blitzing coming off the edge Jonathan Abram, probably since, well, I mean, obviously since he joined us in Silver and Black. But what do you think? Why do you think it took us so long to see this version of him? Do you think Gunther was just trying to kind of stay in his, you know, kind of in his philosophy, what he likes to do, kind of how he wants to run things? But you get to a point where, like, listen, man, we gotta get better. Let's try seeing if this works.
Yeah, and I think one thing that was really telling was after the game, I saw a quote from Baker Mayfield, and he mentioned that the Raiders are a team that are going to sit back in that 2-man until you make them get out of it. So, like, obviously, Baker knows what they like to do. The rest of the league knows what they like to do. And other teams have, you know, they sometimes maybe the Raiders will just sit in that for too long and it ends up burning them. Well, now I think we did get to see a little bit more, you know, looseness from him because he had to, because Gruden was like, look, man, it ain't working. We got to fix something. And that's where you let Abram kind of almost be like an Earl Thomas type of player that not necessarily freelances, but is all over the place. You use him as that playmaker that he actually is and kind of unleash him. So that's one of those things where I think we really got to see that continue because, you know, even when we talked to O'Neal, the DB coach as well, he mentioned that, you know, offensive players already are, they need to know where Abram is. He's already kind of become that guy in his second year, but really his rookie year, if we're going to be honest, and, you know, just what he brings to the table. So he's one of those guys that's kind of like a game breaker type of player with the speed and the tenacity and the way that he hits. You got to put him in situations to succeed. And obviously he's a guy that is going to be licking his chops when he got the chance to go after the quarterback as well.
I was getting today, and obviously, like, you know, we have to, like you said, we got to see it consistently. We got to see it next week. We got to see it through the end of the season. But I was getting like flashes of Jamal Adams a little bit today, like here or there. Like when I saw him kind of doing his thing, I was like, that it felt very Jamal Adams-esque. And obviously he's an incredible player, and we're hoping that Abram gets to that place. But it just, to me, it was so refreshing. And I think that, you know, working in sports, obviously, and you know this as well as I do, that I think that when things kind of are not going a coaching staff's way, I think that there's a tendency at times, I'm not saying that this is the case with our staff at all, but there's a tendency to just buckle down, say, hey, it'll come eventually. But I thought it was really refreshing that last week, Gruden, Gunther, everyone on the defensive side of the ball was like, look, it's not working. We got to get better. And then today you tangibly see them changing things. You tangibly see them mixing it up in an attempt to play better football. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is, you know, it takes a big man to admit when you're wrong. And, you know, for them, and maybe it took some, you know, prodding from Gruden to be like, look, guys, we got to figure this out. But that's big to be able to make that change. Because let's be honest, these are guys that have been coaching in the NFL and in football for a long time. Like, they obviously know what they're doing or else they wouldn't be there. But when you get into a situation where you have a young defense and the personnel and the things that you're doing aren't necessarily working, you've got to figure out a way to put them in the best position to succeed. At the end of the day, that's what a coach's job is, no matter who they have out there. Even if they've got a team full of superstars, like, you still got to line them up in the right spot. So I think that was massive for them to be able to do this. And hopefully it's just the beginning of what we start to see from them in terms of some tweaks defensively. I'd like to see them, you know, give the defensive line a little bit more support as well and blitz more and things like that to mix it up, because you could see where it kind of made Baker uncomfortable. And even at times when he did have time, the thing that I thought was really great was the coverage down the field was there, because you could see Baker back there patting the ball a couple times, trying to make a play, almost kind of trying to do like his Pat Mahomes deal back there. And it just wasn't happening. So on a fairly consistent basis, I've been impressed with the secondary. I think when you get Arnett back, that's going to be big, because then you'll have your two guys out on the outside. You've got Abram roaming around, doing whatever he does. And then Eric Harrison, however they work that rotation at the other safety spot. I mean, it's going to be interesting, because we still haven't really been able to see this Raiders team healthy in all aspects.
Yeah, I mean, and I've talked about it to anyone who will listen, that I know that the numbers aren't there. The numbers aren't incredibly, you know, outstanding, and they're not going to change that much from this, from last week to this week. But I think that low key, the secondary has played pretty well, all things considered. I thought Trayvon has taken a really nice step forward this year. Obviously, you want to see Damon Arnette back in the mix, but I thought E. Harris has done what's asked of him. Obviously, we've talked about Abram a lot and what he brings to the table. And I think really now for me, and you kind of touched on it, I want to see a little more activity from the big boys up front. I want Max to get loose a little bit. And I don't mean this in like a bad way at all for Max, but Max, it seems like at times he can be very streaky, right? Where he had the 4 sacks in 3 games and this guy's playing with his hair on fire and he's, you know, he looks like the second coming of Howie Long. But then there's games like today where he doesn't necessarily have that kind of impact. And so I know you and I are essentially saying the same thing where it's like, today was great. We loved it defensively. We'll talk to you about the offense in just a sec. But at this point for Gunther's guys, it's got to be consistency. It's got to be next week. It's got to be for the rest of the year and really kind of see what this group can do. Because we've seen bits and pieces of it, right? But we haven't seen, I don't know if they've, I'm trying to think, have they played a quality like back-to-back games in 2020? I don't think so.
No, I don't think they have. And like you said, I mean, at the end of the day, that's the NFL. You know, you got to be consistent. You got to be able to do it every week, every down.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that's just part of the next level of the maturation of this defense, then the maturation of this team is being able to do it consistently. But one guy who has been doing it consistently is Derek Carr, right? I know the numbers are not great today, but who cares, right? You look at what this offense did, and you talked about, you know, how good this defense played, and you kind of alluded to it, but key to how, you know, it also helps your defense a lot when you win time of possession and you dominate time of possession like the Raiders did today. I'm looking at the numbers right now. The Raiders hold the ball for almost 38 minutes. The Browns at 22. And look, this is what Gruden wants to do, right? He wants his guys to win time of possession. He wants to control the line of scrimmage. He wants to run behind that behemoth of an offensive line. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't sexy. Like, this game isn't going to go to Canton. And, you know, this is like the epitome of what the Raiders like are. But man, it's efficient. It is super efficient.
It is. And the thing that really stuck out to me was that the Browns ran 47 total plays. The Raiders ran the ball 45 times. That is unbelievable.
That's like somewhere Gruden, as they're flying back from Cleveland, like somewhere Gruden's eyes just lit up, you know, his heart just skipped a beat. And he's like, oh God, I love that.
Oh, you know, he does. And the thing also that's crazy, because, you know, tracking stats throughout the game, the Raiders only had 14 rushing yards in the first quarter. They finished the day with 208. So like, obviously they kept pounding and kept rolling. I don't know what the rush attempts totals were in the first quarter off of that one, but man, I mean, they stuck with it. They kept doing it. Like you said, Gruden's probably heading back, like sitting there like, yeah, all right, that's exactly what I was looking for. And even Derek Carr said after the game, he's like, you know, I might be sick, but I kind of liked it, you know. And that's that kind of like dirty, grimy, like you just won in the elements, like, just, you know, what a game to be able to do it that way. And that's something that's been interesting, is we've seen the Raiders offense do it in multiple ways. And I think that's something that's got to get Raiders fans really excited.
It felt like we were watching a game from like the 1970s. You know what I mean? Like with the snow and what was it? Gravel, whatever they were calling it on the broadcast. I don't know. But whatever, the weather coming down and the dedication to running the ball. And it wasn't very pretty. And both quarterbacks were kind of having a hard time out there for good reason. But, you know, you and I have talked about it a bunch, about kind of the formula for how this team wins. And this is it. Like, the more that I watch this team play in 2020, and as much as I love the Chiefs game, and I love the Chiefs game so, so much, that's the exception, not the rule for this team in 2020, right? Kind of spreading them out, getting crazy. Like, they want to run the ball. Josh ran the ball 31 times today, and I'm sure
31.
Like, 31. And I'm sure that is exactly what Gruden and Ole want to have happen every Sunday.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like you, I loved the Chiefs game. Being a former receiver, like, that's what I want to see every week. And normally, you know, you look at a 16-6 game on, just if you're just checking the scoreboards, you can be like, man, that game must have been so boring. But like, I actually had a lot of fun watching this game. Like, obviously, it's more fun for me to cover them when the Raiders win. But at the same time, like, I don't care. I just want to see a good game. And this one was a lot of fun to watch, even though it was 16-6. And it was interesting. But again, this is the blueprint for the Raiders. That's what they've talked about. Possessing the ball, keeping that other quarterback on the sidelines, no matter who they're playing. That's how they want to do it. So to see them do it that way, to see Josh get going again, I mean, I believe this was his first 100-plus yard rushing game this year.
Yeah, first since December.
Like, that's crazy, man. And so to get him going, I mean, I know he's not a guy that lacks confidence at all, but at the end of the day, like, that's got to be big for the confidence moving forward to be like, hey, all right, I got my mojo back. Like, let's get this thing going. Let's keep doing this. And also, the Raiders can only get, well, hopefully, fingers crossed, can only get healthier on the offensive line. I mean, I'm sure you heard him on the broadcast. They were talking about how much Gruden said he loves his big five that he calls him. And again, we still haven't seen those dudes healthy. They played three snaps together, that offensive line, this whole year. So imagine when they get their full stable of offensive linemen back. This is probably what we're going to see a lot more of. I don't know if it's maybe going to be 31 carries every week, but we're going to see him really eating on the ground a lot more.
Yeah, and I think what I really like too, and this is the second time we've seen it this year, is kind of the Devontae Booker, Josh Jacobs 1-2 punch. And obviously you want Josh to be on the field as much as he possibly can be. Like, he's your dog, he's your workhorse. But I really think now for the second time that Devontae has provided like a really nice kind of compliment to Josh. And I know they're very similar in a lot of ways, but you can tell that they do run differently. Like, Josh and Devontae are different beasts. Like, they're both very effective, but they do run differently. And I thought that having Devontae have that one series or one and a half series, whatever it ended up being, like, I feel like that has to keep a defense honest. And not only that, it gives Josh a little bit of time too to get his legs under him.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I mean, he only rushed 5 times for 29 yards, but I think those stats really lie to the impact that he actually had in the game. I mean, the guys on the broadcast were saying, you know, oh, it lit a fire under Josh. I don't agree with that. I think that's wrong. I think that's over the top. But like, that got things going a little bit, maybe opened up some holes, got them rolling a bit there. And they came at big times in the game as well. And like you said, they do have a similar style. And you know, compared to Jalen Richard, you know, Booker is more of that, like, you know, quote unquote feature type back. If God forbid something were to happen to Josh, you know, he'd be the guy. But to see him get rolling, open things up, it's been nice to see that. And he has come through in so many different areas and games and things like that. I mean, the one that pops up right now first out of my head is the Chiefs game. I think he had that one long run up the right side, you know, that kind of got him rolling. And that's kind of been his role. You come in, he's kind of like a, not the closer, but the reliever that comes in and has to kind of, all right, pick up the pace here.
He's like the setup guy, right? Like, he's your eighth inning guy before you hand the ball to your guy who's going to throw 100 miles an hour for an inning, you know?
Yeah, and he's killed it in that role so far, and it's great. I mean, you love to see that out of him.
It's funny, too, where I looked at the stats right now, and I don't know if I can remember a time when Derek Carr was our second leading rusher. A big shout out to Derek. He's 6 for 41, and he got us all a little scared on the long one towards the end. But, you know, we've talked so much, and I've been pretty vocal about it, about wanting to see Derek be more creative, be more assertive. Like, Derek knows this offense like the back of his hand. I don't think there's anyone who's going to say, like, oh, you know, Derek's not confident when he throws the ball. Like, Derek knows 99 times out of 100 exactly where that ball's going before the snap. But the one thing that I've kind of asked of him, and I've, you know, obviously I haven't challenged him personally, but I would have loved to see for him, is to kind of see what we saw today. Take the ball down. Do it by yourself sometimes. You know, if you need that first down, use your legs. Like, Derek is, and I don't want to say a sneaky athletic guy, Derek is a legitimately athletic guy. And yeah. I think that we've finally gotten a chance over the past couple weeks to see that. And it's good, man. It kind of makes the defense stay even more honest. And I admit I was a little scared when I saw him take off for the long run, and I was doing the same thing. I was like, slide, just get down. But dude, you can't knock the hustle, you can't knock the heart, you can't knock the fact that he's willing to put his shoulder down and try to get an extra couple yards. But maybe run out of bounds next time or something, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he did say after the game he got into a little bit of trouble because Gruden was like, dude, you gotta slide. But at the end of the day, like, you know, Carr's not like one of those quarterbacks that I think you need to handle with kid gloves. You know, he's a bigger guy. He's obviously working on the buys and tries. Like, you know, he's always flashing the guns. So, I mean, he's a guy that can get out there, run a little bit, get a little nasty, and fire the guys up. I mean, that's one of the things. We had a running quarterback when I was in college. And when you see that guy lower his shoulder or try to truck somebody, even if he doesn't, I mean, that lights a fire under everybody because it's like, man, if the quarterback can do this, then we got to get rolling. We can do this stuff, you know? And so that's what really fires someone up. And Gruden even said after the game that Carr's runs were the secret sauce to the win. So you got to like that. And at the beginning of the year, we heard Gruden and Olsen talk about Carr needing to create more with his legs. And I do think that his athleticism is a little slept on. And we've seen it more and more, and that it really has opened things up throughout this game, much like Devontae Booker, who had 29 yards, Carr had 41, and those were really big 41 yards for him.
You know, it is funny, though, where you brought up the fact that, and Gruden said it too, that seeing your quarterback lay his put his shoulder down and run kind of ignites an offense. And they're very memorable, too. Like, I'm thinking, and I'll date myself a little bit, but I remember when I was a freshman in college, and Jeremiah Masoli was the quarterback at Oregon.
Oh, man.
And he was very much ahead of this, like, oh, it's fun and, you know, to be this creative running quarterback. But I'll never forget, it was the end of the season, and it was Oregon State, the Civil War, and whoever won went to the Rose Bowl, which was like a huge deal at the time for Oregon because we were still crescendoing, if you will. But the game came down to a fourth down, and Masoli trucked a linebacker to move the chains, and the Ducks ran the clock out. And I remember that about as vividly as I remember any football play that I've seen in person, because it was a quarterback who said, "No, sir, not today. I'm going to square you up, and I'm going to beat you." And I don't know if Derek's going to do that, and I don't really want Derek to do that. But you remember those things. Like, those things, they really are kind of the spiritual, you know, they get the guys going.
They do. I mean, that's the thing. You're going to get everybody hooting and hollering on the sideline, all fired up, you know, again, feeling good about themselves when something like that happens. And those are the plays that, I mean, again, you don't want to see Derek necessarily do that. But if he does, it's usually going to come at a big time in the game, and it's going to be something that really lights a fire and just keeps them rolling. And that's the thing, is that's a guy that the offensive lineman will go to war for, man. The guy that will literally lay his body on the line. They're going to do whatever they possibly can to help him out and, you know, and continue to protect him, because at the end of the day, like, that's your boy back there. And if you see him laying it out on line for you, you're going to do whatever you can to hopefully continue to push the envelope for him as well.
And just speaking of that offensive line, before we crack some ice cold Coors Lights and get out of here, I know we talked about it last week, but my God, I don't know if there's a man who has earned his paycheck more in 2020 than Tom Cable. Like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, I know we joked about it, but I want to take Tom Cable out for a nice seafood dinner once the pandemic ceases, and be like, just Tom, like, I can't imagine him as a head coach, as an offensive line coach, a coordinator, whatever. He has had to deal with more than he has dealt with this year. Like, it truly is mind-boggling that every single week it's something. Like, Gruden talk post game, he goes, "When we came into the we started Sunday, Brandon Parker wasn't even supposed to be active, and he ends up going." I mean, what, from the early second quarter on, he runs the table? Yeah. Like, God, man, shout out to Tom Cable.
It's crazy. Well, that's the second week in a row we've seen that out of Brandon Parker having to come in and kind of save the day at right tackle there. And, again, it was a very daunting task against the Bucks last week. But, man, I'm with you, man. Cable, he has earned his paycheck and then some. You always hear about, you know, the running backs giving gifts to the offensive line. Gruden needs to hook that man up with some sort of gift. Something, because I mean, he has been so clutch. And if you were to give an MVP to a coach and, you know, on the coaching staff that's an assistant, it has to go to him with everything they've dealt with. Again, like I mentioned earlier, the starting O-line has played 3 snaps together the entire year. If you told me that before the season that was going to be the case, there is no way me or anybody else out there is going to say that the Raiders are 4-3.
No chance. I mean, I was just trying to think in my head, like, I've been pretty outspoken about how I think we have, if not the best, one of the top 2 or 3 offensive line rooms in the NFL. But, like, I'm trying to think, like, realistically, if you were to throw this team in Seattle or throw the situation in Seattle, San Francisco, anywhere, like, I don't know if they would kind of have the same success that this team has had, because it is truly mind-boggling. It is literally something every single week. Every single week it's something. And for better or for worse, these guys pick it up. They really have that cliche next man up mentality, and they have been incredible this year. They really have.
Yeah, I've been so impressed with anything and everything that they've done thus far. And obviously last week was what it was, you know, going up against that defense. But what they did was still incredible to see what they managed to do. So, you know, again, let's see when they're healthy, when they've got a full week of practice, when guys are out there. Like, I mean, man, that's where it's going to be very impressive. And it's not only going to open up the run game for Josh, but the passing game as well, and so many different things that they're going to be able to do. I mean, like you said, I don't think there's many teams around the league that could survive something like this. So that is so impressive for the Raiders to be able to do something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, it's about that time. We're going to crack some ice cold Coors Lights, look ahead to LA, and get out of here so we can enjoy at least some set. Well, actually, you got to go back to work tonight, don't you?
Yep. Oh, back my to work. Goodness. Back to the grind.
Shameless plug, Jesse. Where are you on TV tonight?
News 3, baby. We'll be on right after the Sunday night football game.
Love it, love it, love it. All right, now before we get to, like I said, finish this thing up, let Jesse go to his real job, let's hear something real quick from our friends at Allegiant.
Touchdown, Las Vegas.
Since starting Allegiant some 20 years ago, we've flown more than 100 million people to be with those they love. We're pilots, flight attendants, and technicians, but we're also parents, spouses, and neighbors. And just like you, we're excited to reconnect with the people and places that matter most. That's why we're going the distance for health and safety, on the ground and in the air. Because the further we go now, the safer it'll be to go farther tomorrow. Allegiant, the official airline of the Las Vegas Raiders. Low fares, nonstop flights, only at Allegiant.com.
We're 4-3. We're feeling good. Obviously, this was a huge one. This was a big win for myriad reasons. This is one of those games that I feel like when we're in December, we're looking back on games that are like, oh, thank God we got that one. This is going to be one of those games. But we're going to rejoice. We're going to enjoy it for the next, I don't know, call it 36 hours or so. But then next, we're on the road again, headed to Los Angeles, so a short trip this time, for Justin Herbert and these reborn, re-energized, revolutionized, whatever you want to call them, Los Angeles Chargers. And they're playing a good brand of football, too. They're nobody that we can sleep on headed into week, what is it, week 9 next week?
Yeah. Crazy to even think we're that far.
Crazy. But when you look at them, and obviously Herbert's going to get all the love, and I'm going to be really conflicted next week. I tweet it out every week where I love watching Justin. I mean, I'm an Oregon guy, right? So I love watching Justin Herbert do his thing. I just hate it with such a passion that burns inside me that he does it for the Chargers. And I'm going to be very conflicted next week. But we were having this discussion in the at Allegiant earlier today, Jesse. Do you think that he is the favorite to win Rookie of the Year right now? It's got to be between him and Burrow, right?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Burrow is he is the only reason the Bengals are relevant whatsoever. Like, they are literally just saying, hey, dude, go win us the game. Whereas, you know, Herbert's got a little bit more of a supporting cast. I mean, look at the receivers that he's got at his disposal. But I think, again, if he continues to do what he's doing, you've got to throw him in that situation, in that conversation there for Rookie of the Year, because it has been so impressive. And there's few people in the league that throw a better deep ball than that kid. I've been really impressed with that. And again, he's got the horses in the stable that'll come down with it. So that's what makes that offense really dangerous. But definitely like what he's been doing. I know nobody cares about my fantasy team, but he's been killing it for me in fantasy. So I'm going to be a little conflicted again next week, but I'll put that to the side.
Listen to this. Kyle, so you know Kyle, the great Kyle Martin Media. He brings up his fantasy team damn near weekly on this podcast. And like when we were recording on Thursday, he'll always like, you know, when we're talking about the opposing team, he'll always be like, oh, you know, and so-and-so running back X, you know, got to keep an eye on him, and a really talented dude, you know, really playing at a high clip. And I'll go, Kyle, is he on your fantasy team? You're like, ah, he sure is. He sure is on my fantasy team. So don't worry about the fantasy slander. I'm not a fantasy guy, but I always do. I always get a kick out of Kyle shamelessly building up his guys. But Jesse, it's about that time, man. I got to let you go to work, and you can't drink a real Coors license. I know you're going to be on television tonight, but I'll drink two for you because I'm at home, baby, and I'm feeling good. So you're the guest. So why don't you crack an ice cold Coors Light virtually for me that I can enjoy?
Yeah, well, for this one, man, I mean, we talked about the offensive line so much. I'm not going to touch them because that's actually who I gave it to last week. For this one, I'm going to give it to LaMarcus Joyner, man. I mean, you know, he's a guy that gets a lot of hate from a lot of people because, you know, rightfully so sometimes. But he played really well late in the game on that last drive when I'm sure a lot of people were thinking, okay, here we go. The defense is going to give it up, you know, and then we're going to have to, you know, go back in a little more of a shootout, if you will. Well, man, he came through with some really big plays down the end there, you know, almost picked one off, almost ended the game right then and there. But a couple really nice plays from him. I liked what I saw from him, and it's good to see him kind of get going a little bit and make those flashy plays. So virtually going to crack that cold one to LaMarcus Joyner. Hopefully we can see him continue to do that against the Chargers next week.
Yeah, and like obviously, LJ, we really like LaMarcus a lot personally. He's a good dude. But you're right. I mean, his tenure in silver and black, you know, especially this year, has had its no shortage of ups and downs. So I think it was great to see him get going, to have those two big plays in quick succession, kind of back-to-back there, to really help kind of secure this win. And, you know, it's hard where you get to go know these guys personally, and so you find yourselves rooting for them. But LJ, a good dude, and so I'm glad he got his moment today. Excellent excellent choice there, Jesse. I'm going to crack a cold one, and really there's no shortage of ways you could go. We talked about Tom Cable. We've talked about Josh. We've talked about the offensive line, the defense, Gunther. I'm sure Gunther's enjoying a nice cold one tonight. But I'm going to give this one to Devontae Booker for two reasons. One, we talked about kind of that 1-2 punch with Josh, kind of how valuable that's been over these past couple weeks to kind of have that, not even a change of pace, but just someone who's not Josh running the ball at an effective clip. But he recovered that fumble, the Derek Carr fumble, which I don't, like, did they actually rule him down? Like, I don't know if we ever got an official ruling on that. Was he down?
We didn't, but he definitely fumbled it from what I saw on the replay.
I saw the same thing too. And Devontae was Johnny on the spot. He recovered that football. And I don't want to live in this world of, oh, worst case scenario. But if he doesn't recover that ball, and you have to feel pretty good about your defense, right? They played outstandingly. They'd only allowed, what was it, 6 points at that point. Yeah. But you do worry that crazier things have happened. To be that close to the goal line and to not get points is devastating, regardless of who you're playing, where you're playing, conditions, etc. So for him to be alert, for him to cover that thing up, to make sure that the Raiders ended up getting points on that possession, and for being a tremendous compliment and for being our great eighth inning setup guy for Josh. Devontae, brother, this one is for you. So very well deserved. And really, man, I mean, especially after a game like today, there's no shortage of ice cold Coors Lights that we could pass out. But I think we had two good ones today with Devontae and LJ.
I think we did. I like your pick with Devontae, man, because, again, that was big. The Browns are looking for something to get him going. That could have been the spark that they needed, and who knows what's going to happen. And again, like you said, Johnny on the spot, he's there to pick it up. And then coming through with, again, only 29 yards, but 29 big yards right when the Raiders needed him.
And one reception for, I think it was 17, if I'm looking at that correctly. So it was a loud 29, a nice, you know, one nice long reception for him too. So, yeah, a really good game, and a guy who's very quietly kind of under the radar, done his thing, and been a really productive guy since he joined this team. So we're out of here. It's about that time. I got to let Jesse go to work for real, for real. So for Eddie Pascal, Jesse Merrick, Engineer Jim, who else am I? DJ Frankie, and everyone else who helps us get this little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And this is my weekly plea. I do it every week, guys. Stay safe, stay healthy, keep washing your hands, wearing those masks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I know you're sick of hearing me say it, and I'm sick of saying it. So please, let's just do this, and we will catch you guys on Thursday for our normal episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.